It's quite a beautiful word, and it only appears 3 times in the Bible, if you didn't know that. It's a fatherly, it's a family word, really, and it indicates closeness. It indicates intimate relationship, and Jesus actually uses this in a prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, this family term. And let's quickly look at Mark 14, verse 36. And he says, this is Jesus praying, he says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you." This is a moment of Jesus asking, "Lord, but I know this death is going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Like, I know when my children are struggling with something that they'll come and like, Dad, this is hard." And sometimes my heart breaks to see my children suffer. And I wonder what the father must have felt in this moment. I promised myself I'm not going to cry tonight, but there's a lot of crying going to be tonight. I'm telling you right now. He says, and Jesus is praying, he says, "Remove this cup from me. Remove the fact that I'm going to die. I'm going to die most probably the most gruesome death ever devised by man. I mean, the tree that God created, man used to kill him on. Think about that. Yet not what I will, but what you will." The second and the third time that we see the scripture is in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. "For you did not receive," this is for every person that is born again, for every child of God, "we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the one that is adopting us." Again, what a wonderful picture. I have 2 children that I adopted. I could choose. You got them. But it's such a privilege to be their father. And when you receive those children, then they send you a piece of paper that says, "This is your child," as if they are born of you. Nobody can take Lily Ann and Annabelle Rose away from me and say, "They're not my children." They are on sale through and through. "You have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." So who can cry Abba, Father? Us. I can. Children. The third time that we see it is in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. "And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Spirit crying out, Abba, Father, to God, because the Spirit of God has made it clear that you are God's children. So there was a word just before I came up about an eagle descending in this place, and the word restoration was said. And I quickly looked up, an eagle always represents the care of the father. In Exodus chapter 19, it's used, it says, "Come, I will gather you under my eagle's wings." Sometimes we all need to run and hide under God's wings as a father. And tonight I want to talk about Abba, Father. Because I think we understand what Jesus has done for us, and we understand what the Holy Spirit is currently doing in and through us, but we forget who the Father is. Abba is one of the great names of God, and indeed may be the highest. I almost want to say it's most probably one of the highest good names of God. For no other name so completely reflects the reversal. Listen to this. No other name completely reflects the reversal of the curse and the separation that resulted from Adam's sin, bringing separation to all Adam's sons of disobedience. But we are accepted. You see, Adam in the garden was hiding. In the cool of the day, God's walking with Adam. The very presence of the Father is in the garden. And yet Adam and Eve hide. But we can see in Hebrews that he says that now you can enter boldly, with confidence. You can enter into the presence of the Father. Why? Because of what Jesus has done. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 quickly. In which you once walked, that's the futility of your mind, the Bible says, following the course of this world. There was a moment that each one of us, before Jesus, we followed the course of this world. We followed, the Bible says, the prince of the power of the air. I've said this before. If you don't serve Jesus, you serve Satan. You don't need to dress in black to be a Satanist. Just don't serve Jesus. John tells us that very clearly. John tells us that you have a father before your heavenly father. The Bible says you have a father. He's called Satan. He doesn't look after you that well. He's an evil father. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. But the good father wants to love you. And once we walked in the spirit that is now at work in the sons of obedience, disobedience, we used to work like that. That's what we lived like as unsaved people. Disobedient, evil. We have a father that's the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6 says this. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. We literally handed over two things in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. And they lost faith. Those were the two things. And if we want to come back, that's the crux of Christianity. The just shall live by faith. We come in by faith. And then once we are in, we need to obey. It's no good to just hear, but it's everything to obey. It's no good to just hear the words of God and go, that's a nice message. But to obey what the Father is saying. When we are born again and the Spirit enters us, the Bible calls this reconciled. We are reconciled as children of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. He's the one that regenerates us and brings us in. As the Spirit enters us and impels us to cry this intimate family name, this relational name, Abba Father. We literally see this in the climax of the redemption story. We see this in Jesus. You see, today's sermon is a short attempt to probe and understand maybe the profoundness of this name, the name of God. Look at what Job says in Job 26. Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? We're touching the outskirts of this beautiful name, Abba, Father. Holy God. Holy God, which you and I now can address as Abba because of what Jesus has done. So, what does the word Abba mean? Well, translated from Aramaic, which really means a term of addressing one's father. Children as well as adult sons and daughters used Abba when speaking to their fathers. And so Abba really conveys, I've already said this, a warm, intimate sense, just as when we come and call our parents, our dads, dear father. That's really what it means. When we address him, we can say, dear father. Second, look at this promise that God promised. 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father to you. There's no other religion on planet Earth that makes a promise like this. It's only in Christianity that we have this intimacy. He says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. We should be proud that we are children of God. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The world doesn't understand when I spend time with my Father that I can now walk in the cool of the day like Adam and Eve. There's a restoration. There's a reconciliation. God has restored us. That which was broken because of sin, because God is a mighty, holy God, that which was broken is now reconciled. We can now enter boldly. And yet, we do not fully understand that what it means to be able to confidently cry out, Abba, to the Almighty God. J.I. Packer, one of the greats in Christian literature and history and theologians, he actually addresses this, and this is what he says. He says, you need to first ask this question. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? And the question can be answered in many ways. But the richest answer is, he says, I know, is that a Christian is one who has God as Father. Think about that. You have God as a Father. In other words, we are designed to live in a family. We are not orphans. We are designed to live in a family. Church is God's way of expressing family. This is God's way of expressing family. We saw family tonight in action, how God is doing this. There's the micro and the macro. It's amazing. But this is the nature of God. That we should live in a family. I mean, the Bible says that God puts, God, the Father, he puts the lonely into a household. The orphan into a house. Into a family. Bible says we were once afar off, but God by his Spirit has drawn each one of us closer. And reconciled each one of us to him first. And then to us, because God loved this world so much, now we can love one another. Because he loved us first, because he showed his love. He demonstrated his love by sending Jesus for you and for me. He demonstrated. It wasn't like, hey, I love you guys from a distance. You know, Bette Midler was wrong. Now everybody's like, oh, who's Bette Midler? See, we keep it pop culture, yeah. Boys to Men and Bette Midler was mentioned tonight. She had a song and it says, God is watching us from a distance. No, 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 my friends. God is for us. God is with us. He is called Emmanuel. Right now, we have the Holy Spirit in us. That's God in us. You can't get closer than that. You can't. We are designed to be in a family. Our highest privilege and deepest need is to experience the Holy God as our loving Father, to approach Him without fear, and to be assured of His fatherly care and concern. But you might say tonight, but cannot this be said of every person, Christian or not? Surely God loves the whole world. He loves everybody. And I want to say no. No. The idea that all are children of God is not found in the Bible anyway. We're not all God's children. That's a lie. That's called easy believism. It's very easy. No, we're all just children of God. Yeah, no, we're not. No, no, no. You need to lay down your life. You need to bow your knee. You need to confess Him. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you are in desperate need of a Savior, and that only Jesus can wash you clean. Only the blood of Jesus, only the sacrifice of Jesus will appease the Father's anger that is towards me. Sin separates. Sin kills. It will kill you in the long term. It separates you from God. And sin has a wage that needs to be paid. Death. Eternal separation. Stefan, this is hard preaching. Maybe we need to hear this tonight. That you understand the lavish love of the Father. Some translation says, the lavish love. The what kind, what manner of love that He has showed. The gift of sonship to God becomes ours, not through being born, but through being born again. John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. But all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You must be born again to be able to call Him Abba Father. The whole of the New Testament is about the knowledge of God as one's Holy Father. Everything points to Him as a Holy Father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. Ask somebody, are you God's child? I've heard people say this. Ek dink ek is die duivel se kind. But then you don't know Jesus. So can I introduce you to Jesus? If anybody says that to me, ek dink ek is die man hierdie duivel se kind. I'm the outcast. No, you're not. You are drawn near because of Jesus. You are drawn in because of Jesus. If this is not the thought that He is my Father, prompts and controls our worship and our prayers, and actual fact that it actually controls our whole outlook on life, we actually don't understand Christianity that well. For everything that Jesus taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctively Christian as opposed to merely the Jewish and Jewish customs, is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. Father is the Christian name for God. In the Old Testament, they called him Adonai, God. But we can call him Abba in the New Testament as children of God. How beautiful is that? And it's not Papa or Daddy. It's dear Father. Just wanted to say. There is intimacy. There is relationship. So what is it? I'm almost done. But what does it signify? What does it emphasize? Abba. Warmth. It's warm. It's inviting. It's coming close. I remember Lillianne or Annabelle Rose? Annabelle Rose. Pink Melky. Warm pink Melky. My daughter had this little regime. She wanted to eat first. She wanted a bath. She wanted to have Banny. You guys must see Banny. After 10 years, Banny still lives in my house. She wants Banny, she wants pink Melky, and she wants Daddy's chest. And 7 seconds later, my daughter will be asleep. And I like to think it's my chest. But it's the pink Melky. Warmth. Don't you feel like you're just loved? Like even right now, like you're just loved. Like some of you don't have dads. Some of you, your fathers have abandoned you. Some of your parents are dead. I mean, my father passed away in 2017. He was a fantastic man. A fantastic man. Debbie lost her father. We don't have dads, but I want to say this to you. Tonight, you have one that is closer. Way closer. He's with you. He's a father. There's warmth. There's intimacy. Man, I like this. I want to do this with God the Father. Just sit on his lap and page through my Bible. Hey, don't we all want to just do this? He is blissfully unaware that I'm talking about him right now. He's on his dad's lap. Don't go sit on your dad's lap right now. These chairs, just be cautious, hey. All the boys are like, oh, can I come sit on your lap now? Intimacy. It's a personal, very personal relationship which exists between the believer and their God. Have you experienced that? There's tenderness. There's trust. And there is love that is expressed. It's not just love from a distance. It's love that the Father says, I love you, my child. That you can look full in his face tonight and just go, Abba. Abba, how I long for you. You see, as children of God, we receive the unspeakably wonderful right to at any time boldly approach God's throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16, I quoted this earlier. When I said Adam was hiding, but you and I, let us then as children of God, with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are pitied. God looks upon us and he's like, I feel sorry for you. And I know that it's tough down there. I know it's not that easy. Let's read Psalm quickly. Psalm 103 verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Tonight he's showing compassion to you. What else does he do? What else does a father do? He protects. He's a father that provides for us. But yours was probably the one that we fear the most, I guess. He's a father that disciplines us. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's quickly read this. I just want to read the scriptures and you guys can go meditate on it. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have an earthly father who disciplined us, and it's a big contentious issue in our society today. It's not in the scripture, don't worry. I'm not reading from the Amplified Bible. And we respected them. My father disciplined me. I respect him for that. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and life and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. His nature, because God is holy. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. Listen, it's not lekker when you get paddled. It's not nice. It's not nice. It's not pleasant. Discipline. You can't have your cell phone for the weekend. For some of you, that is like the worst thing that can happen to you. My daughter right now, it's the worst thing that can happen to her. But later it yields. Look at this. Later, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Are we done? Is that the last verse? I feel like it's stuck. There should be more. In closing, that God, the idea that God is our Father, our Abba, our dear Father, is not only a sign of our spiritual health and of the authenticity of our faith. It is one of the most healing doctrines of Scripture right now. Some grew up only with a mother and no father. Others grew up in conventional homes where the relationship with the father was negative at best. But whatever your background tonight, we need the touch of a father, each one of us. And God wants to provide that tonight. Some of us need to bow before God and simply say, "Dearest Father, Abba," and so find the wholeness and the healing that he wants to give us. Maybe just close your eyes quickly. Do you, beloved of the Lord, each one of you, and maybe you're sitting here and you're like, "Man, I have no understanding of this," but something inside me says, "I need this Father love. There's a brokenness in me." Do you, beloved of the Lord, believe that he is your Abba, your dearest Father? See, because the child of God, to becoming a child of God is the highest and most humbling of honors. Why? Because there's a new relationship and you can stand before him. Some of you are running like Adam. Some of you are hiding like Adam tonight. Some of you. And I believe God's saying, "Come out." When he asked Adam, he says, "Adam, where are you?" It wasn't like he didn't know where Adam was. He knows where you are right now in your situation, in your life. He knows exactly where you are at right now. He knows your fears. He knows your anxieties. He knows everything about you. There's this moment in the story of the prodigal son It's beautiful. Where the Father is waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for the Son to return. We see this whole little spiel of the Son that he wants to come say, I have sinned against you, Father, and I'm not supposed to be called your Son anymore and everything. And we see the Father, see the Son from afar off, and he starts running towards his Son to embrace him. And then he says this. He says this in Luke chapter 15, verse 24. He says, This my Son was dead and is alive again. Some of you are dead. Bible says dead in your sin. If you're sitting here tonight and you're dead in your sin and you need the love of a Father that wants to embrace you because he loves you so much, I would love you to slip up your hand quickly and say, Stefan, I need the love of the Father. I want to accept Jesus Christ because it's only through Jesus that we come to the Father. If anybody's sitting here and you say, that's me, Stefan, I want to give my life to Jesus right now, please slip up your hand. I would love to pray with you tonight. Anybody, don't be afraid. Please, I would love to. But then, I'm speaking to you, born again, child of God. If you want to draw closer to the Father, I would love you to stand. Right now, you just need a touch of the Father. Right now. Just a touch. Just a touch of the Father. Just a touch. It's not about responses. It is about our need. It's us crying out, Abba, Father, dearest Father, each one of us. And I need you to do that right now. That you cry out to him, dearest Father. Maybe you need to bow your knee. Maybe you need to, whatever you need to do, cry out to him, dearest Father, I need you. I need you. Maybe God needs to come and reconcile. Maybe God needs to come and draw close to you and restore what your earthly fathers couldn't do. Acts of fact, Matthew, Jesus says, your earthly fathers that are evil, you know how to give good gifts. How much more will the Father in heaven give you? How much more? I pray for restoration tonight. I pray for people to come and hide under eagle's wings tonight, Lord. As that picture of an eagle that was descending into this place, Lord, that people will run and hide. Like Jesus that prayed, said, hi, how I have longed to gather you, Israel. I have longed to gather you. The night the Father wants to come and be Abba Father to you. Abba Father. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. I want to end with these words of Charles Wesley. Maybe this is a prayer. Arise, my soul, arise. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence, I now draw nigh. With confidence, I now draw nigh. And Abba Father, cry. This is the cry of our hearts, Lord. It's the cry of our hearts. Bring healing, bring intimacy, restore relationship tonight. We pray in Jesus' mighty name.